Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cruise FM presents The Locker Room with Lachlan Cross, Grant Johnson, and James P. White. Brought to you by Always Plumbing and Heating. Thinking about a new furnace? Get a free quote at alwaysplumbing.ca.
You gotta come on.
Good morning.
Boom, 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 boom.
Come on!
Bang, 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 bang.
Here we go.
Morning, Grant.
Good morning.
We've got another chance at that four-pack of tickets for the Taboo Naughty But Nice show at the Edmonton Expo Center.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it just after 7, so just go to my Twitter or the Locker Room YouTube page, or Jimmy's Twitter.
Yeah.
Because he posted it as well. Quick little video of Jimmy's striptease. What song is he dancing to? You'll need to know that for the contest.
Very simple.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some hoops there.
Yeah.
We'll send you a link, too, if you just want to text us. If that's easy, if you're just on your phone.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain smashed a guitar during the first Nirvana tour. It was a 1973 Fender Mustang. You might have heard people talking about it because it went up for sale in an auction, and they thought it was going to get around $200,000. It ended up getting almost half a mil.
$500,000 almost.
For a broken guitar.
Thing was smashed.
Can't even play it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting story. That anything Nirvana, anything Kurt Cobain usually gets a pretty penny. This is an interesting track, actually.
Mm-hmm.
When I play this now, because it's obviously off of Nevermind, but I play the remix, the one that they used for the Batman.
Robert Pattinson Batman.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, so this is something in the way getting us going this morning.
Grant said something the other day. He goes, I was watching the world population clock. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
There's a clock?
Somebody sent me the link. The UN has it, and it's just this ongoing ticker of all the people in the world. I think they just estimate it by, like, there's a baby born every whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was going up, and it was approaching 8 billion on Monday, I think it was.
Wow.
So somebody had sent me that. I was watching it. It's kind of interesting.
You'd think that over the last couple of years, just based on what we're going through and the conflicts around the world, that it might be, you know, maybe Mother Nature's getting ahead of us here.
Yeah.
But no.
Well, one thing, so they were saying, okay, yeah, we just hit 8 billion people.
Just the other day, yeah.
Just the other day. But the younger, like, it is slowing, I guess. Birth rates are declining.
Okay.
So they, like, Elon Musk always goes on about how the biggest crisis facing humanity is that there's not going to be no people. He's always going on, but whenever people ask him why he has so many kids, he's like, I'm doing my part for the birth rates because the birth rates are collapsing.
Him
people
and
people aren't having kids. And
Cannon.
Him and Nick Cannon are doing their part.
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, Nick Cannon is a hero.
Yeah. He's covering off everybody that only has two.
They also have two more on the way.
Yeah.
Nick?
Nick Cannon. Yeah.
Somebody asked him the other day. They said, there was a report about you pay this much for child support. Is that true? And he said, I pay way more than that. He said, that's not true. Yeah, I pay way more than that.
I was having a conversation about that yesterday, about Nick Cannon and about my idea. I still think it needs to get out that he needs to buy them all a house on the same street, wherever, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Could be Vegas. I don't know why I picked Vegas. But you just put them all in there, all the baby mamas, and just roll cameras.
But the sister wives guy already tried that, and it's all falling apart for him if you've seen the new season.
Okay, I am not having a conversation with you about sister wives.
I'm just saying.
Stop it.
He tried the exact thing you're talking about, and it's all falling apart for him.
Jimmy, he is not allowed to make fun of me ever for any show I've ever watched. Yeah,
I think you're the one that turned me on to sister wives.
I did not!
You were like, hey, my wife watches this show, and I just happened to be in the room
all
the time.
He tried to get us onto This Is Us.
Locked
it
in.
Stop it.
So they're saying part of the reason for the growth is people are living longer. So we're not dying off when we should be. We're not dying off
as quickly. Right? So, okay, that so makes...
increase in human lifespan, and then in countries like India and China.
But COVID had a... Didn't COVID have a...
Kill off a few people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think so.
I thought that was Mother Nature's plan.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we cleared 8 billion. They're saying by 2030, we'll have 9.7 billion. And then the projection is by 2050, there'll be 10.4 billion. So there you go. No, hold on. 8.5 billion in 2030, 9.7 billion in 2050, and over 10 billion in 2100. So there you go. If you're following along with the UN world population clock.
You're in the locker room on 95.7 Cruise FM.
I said, well, you know what, miss? It's art. And you're free to interpret this art however you'd like. But I can tell you, as the maker of this art, that I don't believe that I feel that way.
Just a quick clip from his latest special, Closer, which, by the way, he's up for a Grammy, right?
So they
Best Comedy Album?
Yeah, they really saw the Grammy nominees for Best Comedy Album. The Closer, Dave Chappelle nominated. Comedy Monster by Jim Gaffigan. Some guy, Randy Rainbow. I don't know who that is. He's nominated.
I don't know who Randy Rainbow is.
I looked at it. It's political satire and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Louis C.K., who won last year.
Wow.
This album is Sorry. And then Patton Oswalt, We All Scream.
Sorry, I've seen, and Closer, I've seen. I haven't seen the other ones.
I've only seen Dave Chappelle's, I'm pretty sure.
You haven't seen Louis C.K.'s Sorry?
No, because he's got them all on his paywall, right? You got to buy them on his website. So I haven't.
Where did I see it?
Maybe you downloaded it illegally.
I might. You
or
know
maybe
what?
He
I think
put
I
it up for a free weekend or something, but
yeah.
A lot of his stuff he puts on his website, and then you have to like pay to watch it.
Grant, you need to go watch Sorry.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's unbelievable. The Dave Chappelle, though, is just... He'll probably win.
Yeah, that one's so funny. Yeah.
He said that's his last special with Netflix, eh?
Because he had signed that big deal, right? And that's, I think, why he called it The Closer, because he was like, this is it.
This is my
closer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
There's a story out about his Saturday Night Live appearance. So I guess there was some concern about what he was potentially going to say. So Lorne said, listen, I need to hear what you're going to do during dress. So Lorne Michaels comes down and Chappelle comes out and he does like a 10-minute piece, 15-minute piece. And Lorne was like, okay, that'll work.
That works.
And then Chappelle came out and did a completely different 15. And apparently that is a true story.
Yeah.
He did a fake monologue.
Didn't want them to see what he was actually going
to
do.
To get it through.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Like,
yeah.
Who does that?
Dave Chappelle gets away with it.
And gets away with that. There is a little controversy right now because if you haven't seen the Saturday Night Live appearance from Chappelle on Saturday, it's worth checking out. But he gets in, he swims around in some very, very difficult waters.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he addresses the Kanye stuff.
Yeah.
And the way he addresses it, I think that's part of the issue.
Kind of irks some people, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other guys, Jim Gaffigan, I enjoy. I do enjoy his comedy. It's family-friendly comedy, but it's pretty funny at points. His whole thing about McDonald's and salads. And then Patton Oswalt. I haven't watched this one, but he's got some of my favorite bits. Like the one, his Star Wars one, where he's going to kill George Lucas. and then he's got the one about the My Little Pony, too. That's really funny. If you need to check it out, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the one where he's disappointed that his kids aren't into Star Wars.
Yeah.
But then goes on like a 15-minute thing about how he's not into My Little Pony.
All the little intricacies of My Little Pony and the relationships. And then he goes, that's my daughter's thing. I'm gonna
not mine. Very funny. Calling my friend Ryan Lindley. He is quite a cook.
Hello.
Linz, you know my rule, right?
You've got a few rules. What's this rule?
Which rule? Okay.
No crying?
No. Never ignore food advice from a fat guy or a former fat guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's my rule, too.
It's a strong rule. So, Linz, yesterday, I give him a call. He's a friend of mine. And I'm at Acme meat market on 76th to grab a couple of steaks because I'm making steaks for Jimmy for his birthday tomorrow. So I wanted something nice. And that's my neighborhood now. Oh, I love that place. Mm-hmm. Had a coffee from Transcend.
Transcend's the best.
Yeah, it was
best really coffee.
Nothing beats a neighborhood butcher, man.
Yeah.
A butcher and a baker. The two, if you have a bakery and a butcher, you'll be 600 pounds in no time.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a baker yet, but I'll find something.
Bakery. Oh, no, the Duchess Bakery's in that building, but they don't do bread and stuff. It's more cakes.
That was more pastries and stuff like that. Anyway, had a quick little chat with Corey, great guy from Acme.
Plus, there's a great beer place in that building.
What?
Yeah, Bira is in there. They make some of the best beer in the city.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I would have bought a six-pack.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm standing there. I'm waiting in line. And just before, just to the corner, they have a bunch of sauces and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, well, normally when I cook steaks on the barbecue, I don't really do a lot with them, right? I put, Heinz seasoning salt on them or something like that. And I thought, well, maybe I'll try something different. So I call Lynn's up and I'm like, hey, dude, what barbecue sauce should I buy for these steaks? And he goes,
these expensive
What's
steaks.
What's wrong with you, you animal?
What are you, Trump? Put ketchup on?
Yeah, some ketchup. I was actually, because he didn't say steaks at first. He just said, what barbecue sauce should I buy? So I thought, okay, he's making chicken or pork chops or something. I said, well, what are you cooking? And he said, steaks. He just shook my head. I almost cried.
Ribeyes?
I was going to buy the ribeyes, but I went with a strip loin instead.
Yeah,
the ribeyes would have been a bit more, and that wasn't the issue. It just, the strip loins looked a little thicker, and I only wanted to buy two because the wife is going to be eating with us. And so anyway, and Jimmy and I can both eat a steak the size of our heads. So I wanted some for my wife. Anyway, I got some really nice steaks. And you did give me some advice on how to cook.
I did. And if you got a good piece of meat, like a good steak, you got to take that thing out of the fridge before you're barbecuing, right?
Yes.
Okay, so take it out of the fridge at least an hour or two before you're ready to cook. So then that way it gets up to a bit almost a room temperature.
Okay.
And yeah, and then you want to hit it just before, 5 minutes before you put it on the grill. This is contested. Some people season after, but I always season before. Like an equal parts mix of salt, kosher salt, coarse ground pepper, black pepper, and garlic. And if you can find dehydrated chunks, like little chunks of garlic, it makes it equal parts. It's a great rub for it's all purpose. You can use it on chicken, use it on pork, but it doesn't add much complexity because that meat, you bought it from a good butcher, so it's a good cut of meat. So it's going to taste good on its own. You just want to kind of amplify the flavor. You don't want to mask it with, coriander or Montreal steak spice that just kind of blows the flavor of the meat out of the water.
Yeah.
You want to enjoy that steak. That's why you paid good money for it, right? So if you got a good quality piece of meat, all it needs is you can even omit the garlic and just some good salt and pepper on a good steak. Finish it after if you have to with some Worcestershire sauce, I guess, maybe a little shake, but that's about it. Don't ruin it with sauce. Don't ruin it with
My only piece of advice is when you pull it out of the fridge to warm up, put it somewhere where your dog can't reach it.
I was actually going to say, Kingston is getting so big now. Just be careful where you put that steak. And,
you might need a ladder to put it up without...
That's for you.
Put it over.
That's not for Kingston. What you got to be careful, I'd say the most important thing with cooking a steak on a barbecue as well is the rest. Afterwards, rest that steak for the amount of time that it took to cook. So when you take it off, you put it on a plate, tent it with a little bit of tin foil, and if you cook that steak for, say, 5 minutes, 2.5 on each side, tent it for 5 minutes on the counter and let those juices kind of find their way back home. So,
okay, all right. This is all good advice, Linz. I appreciate it. Also, Linz does, cooking videos and stuff on his social media, and I just retweeted one of his suggestions for potatoes, so go have a look.
And he wears nothing but an apron.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the locker room with Lachlan Cross, Grant Johnson, and James White. 95.7 Cruise FM.
All right. Our phone number is 780-989-0957. Right now and all this week, we have been giving away tickets for that Taboo Naughty But Nice show at the Edmonton Expo this weekend. You need to figure out what song Jimmy was dancing to in the Day 4 video that was posted earlier this morning. If you know the tune, call the number right now. We've got also a $250 shopping spree up for grabs. So, by the way, watch for Jimmy. He'll be at that show this weekend.
Yeah, he'll be spending his weekend down there trying out whips and chains and plugs and all sorts of
things. No, not plugs. Like, I need a new G-string, a new costume, maybe an addition to my leash.
Why do you do this?
A tail.
No, I'm not, really into I'm not really Grant. Into tails.
Stop encouraging.
But I did actually rip...
The Locker Room presents The Grant Report for JT's Bar and Grill, where good people come to enjoy the best food and drinks with other good people. Now, Grant Johnson.
So it's no secret that inflation is pounding us all in the keister. You know, anytime you leave your house now, it's a $100 charge. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Have $100 ready to leave your house. One of the things that has gotten the most expensive is our food. You know food, the thing we as humans require to live? Yeah, it's getting more expensive. I saw a tweet. I can't take credit for this tweet, but it said, Canada is a unique democracy that is controlled by two cell phone companies and a grocery store. There was a study released about the foods that increased the most in price in the last month. So this is only in the last month. Margarine, pasta, and dairy were all the top ones. In 1 month, margarine went up 40% in price. I guess the cows that they get the vegetable oil to make margarine with must be getting more expensive to feed. It's insane to think that you're now paying $10 for a head of lettuce that you're only eating because people tell you that you have to eat salad. Don't worry, though, because our governments are on it. They have a plan to help with food inflation. The federal plan includes tripling the carbon tax, and the city of Edmonton's plan includes building a pedestrian bridge from the funicular to the other side of the road. My plan makes a little more sense. It involves a food that we have all been promised will never go up in price. So my plan to fight food inflation for the family is to eat nothing but Costco hot dogs. And I urge you all to do the same. The price will never change. The Grant Report is brought to you by our merchandise. Yes, it's real. We actually have merchandise. And by buying just one shirt today, you can help support the drinking habit of the three of us. Text Jimmy today for the link to shop.
You're in the locker room on 95.7 Cruise FM.
So they're not going to do the Christmas tree, the giant Christmas tree downtown this year?
No.
They've got another plan. The Downtown Business Association's doing something else. And I guess people are mad because it's a Christmas tradition, and this is the first year they haven't found a big tree and then put lights all over it and then done like a light up ceremony. So people are commenting about it. Not happening this year. And the mayor released a statement yesterday in the form of a poem.
Yeah.
So we're going to play the poem from the mayor, Amarjeet Sohi, in a couple of tunes. Okay. And then on the heels of that, I'll play the whole thing. I'll play the whole poem. It's not that long.
Yeah.
It's like a minute 30.
Yeah. It was a Twitter thing. So it's not that long.
On the heels of that, old Jimmy Sheets himself is going to respond from the locker room, okay?
Our rebuttal.
You're in the locker room on 95.7 Cruise FM.
So, they're not going to do the big Christmas tree light up in Edmonton this
Downtown year. Edmonton will not have a giant Christmas tree.
And people were angry about it, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. This is something they've been doing for a long time. They usually put up a big tree, and then they have a night where they light it up, and families and people gather.
Well, we usually go down to the ledge and look at the lights there, and then we'll walk over to City Hall and look at the lights there. And
Christmas tree comes up.
Yeah.
But they have they have like the lighting ceremony as well. So they're not doing the big tree. They're doing something else on Rice Howard Way where they're going to light up the whole street or something. And I guess Amarjeet Zoe, our mayor here in Edmonton, has been taking some heat. So he responded on social media with a poem. So here is his No Christmas Tree poem, all right?
There won't be a tree in the Churchill Square. But that doesn't mean the mayor and council doesn't care. I've heard some people call me a Grinch, but accurate info can be found in a pinch. The DBA is lighting up downtown on Rice Howard Way this time around. This is the project that they are taking the lead. This Christmas, they will have just what you need. Everyone's holiday traditions are great. No matter what they are, I love to celebrate. For years and years, we all loved the big tree. But there's so much more that Christmas can be. We will still have events and fun in the square, and I certainly hope to see you all there. As far as the tree, there are sure to be more lining the streets and the front of the stores. But regardless what you heard in the news, it was just for the comments and the clicks and the views. It is so important for all of us to be kind. So happy holidays, is early Christmas to yours from mine.
I think it's a bad idea. I think it's tradition. I don't know. We don't have enough of it, in my opinion. And we actually had Jimmy Sheets himself write a counter poem, which we will read next, okay?
You're in the locker room with Lachlan Cross, Grant Johnson, and James White.
Oh!
95.7 Cruise FM.
Damn it. Hold on. I'll get the right bed. We need the right bed. There it is. Right there.
Time now for another poem from Jimmy Sheets himself on the locker room.
Do you want me to play a little Christmas music?
I think we need a little Christmas music.
Harmonica? Okay, I'll try to copy the song that was underneath of the mayor.
Oh, I'm actually reading it this time?
The Locker Room.
Good morning, Cruz.
Hey, boys.
Ron.
So once again, I'm reminded of how absolutely asinine stupid city council is in this city.
Yeah.
You know, why are we not setting up the Christmas tree? I'll tell you why. It's because the business association said that there's not enough revenue generated by setting this up, and it doesn't bring any attention to how, you know, the downtown and everything. Well, what the fuck do you have to do with anything?
I don't know. So they're looking at a more expanded.
Yeah, they're moving it over to Rice Howard Way, is what I heard.
So, well, yeah, but they're lighting up everything, and they're gonna. So the tree, I guess, is too centralized. People go see the tree, and then they go home. They don't go for a coffee or a beer or something, I guess, is the point.
So what's wrong with that?
Well,
that's what you're saying
the excuse is? I thought maybe it might be something more like we don't want to cut down a big tree or something.
The excuse they gave was it's not driving business downtown.
Okay, so this...
throw out tradition for money. That's what it is, you know.
It's not generating enough revenue. Oh, that's brutal. That's brutal. A lot of people do this tree thing every year.
Yeah, I do. I've been doing it. I've lived in this city my whole life, 60 years, man. And I've been, I go every year.
Yeah.
With my parents. I do it every year.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I think it's an.
It sure is. But let's build some bike lanes to get downtown. Let's build the LRT above ground so we can hold up traffic.
Yeah. Ron, we have to go. I appreciate
it. Take care, fellas.
Take care, my friend. I got to be honest. I'm surprised by this. This is a new report, right, on the cannabis?
So this just came out, and it said Canadians have lost more than $131 billion investing in cannabis companies. So if they broke that down, they said it would equate to each Canadian citizen losing about $43,000.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. $131 billion we've lost in Canada investing in cannabis. It's crazy. They were interviewing a guy that owns a shop who basically, you know, did the shop himself, wasn't part of a chain or anything. He said he put himself...
got a license or whatever.
About $300,000 it cost him. And he had a great location. This was in Toronto, where they have more weed shops than Tim Hortons now. And he said basically when he opened, there was an illegal weed shop down the street from him. And he figured, oh, they'll close that one down. Like, it's legal now. They're going to come through. These people aren't licensed. They'll shut them down. They never did.
They never did. They,
so yeah. He's selling his legal weed with the government taxes and the regulations. And three doors down from him is somebody just selling it all unlicensed, and nobody's ever
with
come
a special
to shut
knock
down.
With, on the door.
Yeah,
well, I think it's not even. I think it's like an open shop. Like it's
I heard the same thing was happening in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, they had a similar situation there with people.
Yeah,
yeah. We really. Well, it's surprising because normally when the government gets involved in things, normally things go so smoothly, right?
That's what they said. This was an industry created by the government, essentially, and it has failed.
Well, and the money that the taxes they have made from the sale of cannabis is pretty significant, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I was reading. Didn't
like
we
that
read
the government has made?
Yeah, the government's doing okay with this.
Yeah,
I do know people that it's kind of a mix now for me. Like I don't really partake at all, but I know people that go to the store
mm-hmm.
that like legal stores, but I also know. A couple of people that are like, no, I still deal with my guy.
Yeah.
Right.
From what I've witnessed is the hardcore guys, the smoke every day guys, go to their guy still.
Because it's not strong enough, the stuff in the stores or whatever.
Just they've always gone to their guy or comfortable it's a little cheaper. Whereas like the casual users for the convenience and everything else will go to the stores. The
so
legal stores.
This is happening when it comes to weed. Maybe we should start our own brand of beer and start, you know, just bootlegging our own beer, and then maybe we can make some money.
Great idea, Jimmy. You know what? The thing with the sale of weed, though, is for me with this is I'm surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm surprised we've lost so much money because I was actually when it was a thing when it was introduced. And everybody was like freaking out about weed and weed stores.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I wish I had money.
To invest.
Because this sounds like some, like everyone who's getting into the weed business is going to be a millionaire.
And that's how we have lost $131 billion investing.
That is not the case.
No.
One thing I think they should have done is they should have limited the number of stores.
Like, yeah, and that's what.
And the number of licenses.
Well, and gone after the illegal market more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, 100 and what?
$131 billion.
$131 billion just in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We lost.
Just invest in.
Good Lord.
Cruise News.
Footage showing the Chinese president berating Trudeau over a leaked conversation the two had was released yesterday. You're going to see a lot of talk about this. I saw it posted everywhere. According to a former Canadian ambassador to China, the way that
Jimmy Soleil and Theo Fleury posted.
Oh, are they all over it?
They were reposted.
Weird. They probably really look up to him, to President Xi, right? So the way he talked to Trudeau, they said, was very unusual for a Chinese leader and a sign that China thinks of Canada as a minor country, because in their culture, a lot of the way they talk to you, the way they use their hands, their eye contact, there's a lot of messages in that.
Hierarchy, right?
Yeah. The G20 summit earlier this week, the two had spoken, and afterwards, Trudeau's office issued a readout noting the topics that they had spoken about, which upset the Chinese president. In that conversation, Trudeau raised concerns about reports that China had secretly funded 11 candidates in the 2019 election. Trudeau's response during Xi's berating was that Canada believes in free, open, and frank dialogue, which is why he released the conversation. Experts say he was deliberate and that the Chinese president planned what he was going to say and the way he was going to say it, and that it could have an impact on Canadian and Chinese relations.
The tough part about this conversation is I think there's a real fine line between sticking up for yourself and knowing your place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I also think there is a... There, and again, I'm always leery about saying this because this sounds very Berta, but I think Justin Trudeau is perceived as a weak leader internationally.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
Is that fair?
I don't think that's a Berta thing. I think on the world stage,
I think
people kind of roll their eyes at him.
Yes, I think, like, okay, whether you like Donald Trump or not, Donald Trump, I don't think, has a lot of respect internationally. Now, you can say, you just hate Donald Trump while Biden's ruining the country. Like, we can have that conversation, yeah. But I'm using Trump as an example. I don't think Trump had a lot of respect internationally. I think we have a similar situation with Justin Trudeau.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can go through different stages in your leadership. I think there was always a sense of, with Putin, there was a sense of fear. And I think he, on a certain level, was respected. That has gone down considerably with the lack of success he's had in from the fear side of things, mm-hmm. right? I think that Russia now is perceived as a bit differently with what's happened in the Ukraine internationally, around the world. I bet you China views Russia differently now as a partner after what's happened in the UK or with Ukraine, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the issue here.
Side note, do you remember when Stephen Harper stood up to Putin? They're at the G20, and
do remember
Putin
something.
Went to shake his hand, and he said, I'll shake your hand, but you need to get out of Ukraine.
I remember something
that was big news, yeah.
I do remember. And again, like I said earlier, I said it's unfortunate that he was put in that situation because I'm not sure what... listen, Justin Trudeau is not... I don't think he's a great leader. The issue I have with criticizing him for what happened is... I'm not sure anybody would have been able to handle that. We're in a situation right now,
moment.
Politically with China, where you can't win, you can't lose. It's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the locker room on 95.7 Cruise FM.
So the Pete Davidson story is still a pretty hot topic.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I get so much Pete Davidson backlash is because I have commented quite a bit about my lack of understanding about what's going on. And then you get people jumping in that want to defend the situation, right? And I listen, I don't question any of your personal priorities for men. If you're of the fairer sex,
whatever you like,
and you find nice, really attractive, which apparently he's a nice guy, then that's that. I'm not questioning that. I'm not against that.
If you want somebody with a six pack, or you want somebody cuddly,
yeah,
it's whatever you're into.
Whatever you're into. If you really value funny, I'm going to be fine with that. Okay, that's you. It's still, for me, doesn't answer. If you like somebody with a big hog. That's on you.
Yeah.
It still does not, for me, the math doesn't add up.
For how much success he's having.
Yeah, and
you're like, are all these supermodels really into nice guys that are kind of funny?
So we had a long conversation about this a couple of days ago. We had a conversation about this yesterday.
I did a grant report on it.
Did a grant report. So I continue to get people trying to weigh in. Mostly women trying to go, it lock. Here, I don't know why you don't understand this. Mm-hmm. Why is this so confusing? So today, I woke up this morning, and on my Twitter, I got a video link sent to me of a show called The Social, which I've never heard of. It's
obvious, a Canadian one.
Is it? Okay. I don't know anything about this show.
I think it's like the Canadian version of The View.
Yes.
Yeah.
And anyway, they had a conversation about Pete Davidson. And their clip, it's like 5 minutes. The four women on the panel go around and they have a conversation. And I watched it this morning. It was sent to me by Lemon Tart. So thank you, Lemon Tart. And there was two things that were thrown into the mix that I have not heard yet as an explanation. And I'll be honest with you, this is the closest thing I have heard to explaining why Pete Davidson is so successful in the dating pool in Hollywood. And one of them was... And this is true. Do you ever hear Pete Davidson telltales out of school. Like, he is very discreet.
Right? You've never heard him talk gossip about anyone?
No, there's no clips.
Leak anything?
There's no clips floating around about his relationship with Kate Beckinsale, what it was like, or anything like that. So there's that discretion, which is huge, because he dates women with money and means.
Yeah.
Like, he's not...
Kim Kardashian's a very powerful woman.
She's probably one of the richest women in the world, isn't she?
And she's a billionaire, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. And then the other thing was that rich women find it very difficult to date. Their dating pool is pretty thin, right?
That's true, yeah.
And that was one of the things that came up in the panel. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know what? Maybe that makes more sense. And I've heard this before. This isn't just a Pete Davidson thing. Women that are very, very famous for being models or rich or whatever... find it difficult to find men. Men are intimidated by their success, I think. And that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Two things.
Could it also be that he's becoming a trend for some of these celebrities?
Yeah, that comes up all the time.
That it's just becoming a thing. Like,
I'm
hey,
next.
Let Mikey try it. Like
Dionne Warwick, she stepped in yesterday.
She's tweeting that she's next.
She's like, I'm in. And she's like 108.
I'm still upset though that Pete Davidson passed up on Martha Stewart.
Still got time.
Yeah, it's still time.
Not
Pete.
Much. She's pretty old.
The Locker Room on 95.7 Cruise FM.
So the story about the leader of China and Justin Trudeau's interaction is a huge conversation this morning. Mm-hmm. Again, I've tried to be somewhat diplomatic about it based on my pure hatred for Justin Trudeau. But we got a really good text there from Michael.
So Michael said, sure, Justin may have lost some respect from some international leaders. Look at them, though. Are they much better? I don't know if it matters to me what some of them think. They have so little respect for us as a country. I mean, how could you have a conversation with someone who is trying to interfere with our political process?
That's a really good point.
So China's doing a lot of things. Like, there's that big report about them funding politicians secretly and the secret police operating in Canada, all these things. So it's like,
I wonder, like, I don't know enough about it. I wonder how much we could eliminate them from our lives. Would we be okay if we were able to cut them off?
I think we'd be hurting.
Because of the huge amount of manufacturing and stuff
like
that.
When they stopped receiving our pork and our canola, and like, it hurt us really bad, right?
Yeah. I think Michael brings up a good point, because the thing that I've been struggling with is, okay, take out my disrespect and my dislike for Justin Trudeau. Take that out of the equation. Put anybody else in there. Would they have been able to handle that situation, and should they have even have been addressing it? I'm thinking that you're kind of at a point with China. With their impact on the world, the economic world, where you don't even,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, just stay away from it. So how are you going to... So Michael's got a good point. I don't think that meeting should have happened at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But also with the fact, like, one thing that Grant said earlier was he was like... You know, he was so animated and he was so precise in the way... The Chinese president... That maybe he was just trying to pick a fight to look for a reason to be mad at this summit because things weren't going his way.
The experts are saying it was planned, right? Like, it was, he knew what he was doing when he went in there, had the cameras rolling.
So had it been Trudeau as the leader or somebody else, he would have unleashed, done that whole spiel to show, hey,
that's my point. That's Michael's point.
Not Preston Manning, though.
Preston probably would have handled this way better.
Well, he could speak the language too, right? So, rest in peace.
The Locker Room with Lachlan Cross, Grant Johnson, and James White. 95.7 Cruise FM.
This isn't really chicken news.
It's Chicken Chain, though.
Yeah.
Who is adding to their menu. It's a kind of a special item for the holidays.
Okay, all right. So it's not going to be a regular feature. It's just it's something that they're throwing into the mix.
Yeah. So okay. Mary Brown's,
one of your favorites. Like, you bring up
Mary
Brown's
chickens.
Yeah.
Chicken.
They're better than KFC.
Well, let's not get carried away here.
My
in-laws are keto, right? And so
okay.
A lot of their like go-to quick food is fried chicken, which is awesome. And Mary Brown's is one of the go-tos. So it's good chicken.
It's good chicken, yeah. You also commented on like they have like a Monday deal. Mary Brown Mondays.
So it's a cheap chicken sandwich, which is a good sandwich. They're adding buttermilk biscuits to the menu. They said it was one of their most requested items from people across the country. So starting pretty soon.
Is that
soon.
A chicken thing?
Yeah, chicken and biscuits.
Chicken and biscuits. Okay, so right. It's a southern thing, right?
Yeah.
Because like, Popeyes does the biscuit.
So does Church's Chicken.
Church, yes.
KFC doesn't do a biscuit, but they have the rolls.
They have the rolls, yeah.
But they don't do a biscuit. But yeah, Popeyes and Church's both have.
I like the church's biscuit.
Good biscuit.
There's a glaze on it or something. And it's tasty.
And the northern chicken biscuits are pretty good.
I don't know if I've had the biscuits at Northern. I always just get the basket of the spicy chicken at Northern Chicken.
Yeah. These at Mary Brown's are going to be available now until January 1st. So you don't have much time to enjoy them.
There you go.
To love them.
We will get chicken news out when it comes in.
Also,
again, that's not technically chicken news, but.
We should mention the fired up chicken sandwich at Wendy's. We haven't given that any love.
I saw
I
an ad
tried
for
it, yet,
it,
but I've heard it's really good.
I've seen an ad for it, and I definitely the other one that I have to go to now that I live in this neck of the woods is the one that you bring up all the time,
Soul Fried Chicken.
Soul Fried mm-hmm. Chicken, because I have not had that yet either, and I keep seeing the store when I'm driving around.
Soul Fried Chicken is very good.
Yes, yeah. I have to try that at some point.
3, 2,
the locker room's midget at the movies.
I shall call him Mimi.
It's like Minute at the Movies, but shorter.
So Meg Ryan's celebrating. Is she done with John? She was dating John Mellencamp or married to him, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Cougar, John Cougar.
Yeah, she was, too.
I think that's over. I think they broke up for some reason. Do you know he still smokes?
Like yeah,
three
lot.
Packs a day or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he smokes a lot.
That's incredible. I wonder if he's a marathon runner. Okay. When Harry Met Sally is coming a bunch...
But actually, the Doors seems to have come in a bit more.
Was she in the Doors movie with Val Kilmer?
I guess so, because it's come in a bunch.
I just looked it up, and she is.
Get out of here. I don't remember that. You haven't seen that one either?
No.
If I have, it's
struggling. Been a long time. If
Courage Under Fire came in with Denzel Washington. I'm shocked you haven't seen that one. It's a war movie with Denzel Washington. You've Got Mail?
No. None of those You Got Mail, the Sleepless in Seattle or whatever that
French,
one is. The
French Kiss, Meg Ryan and Kevin Kline?
No. Those aren't my movies.
The Deal? Yeah, The Doors one and Harry Met Sally came in both.
I'm really struggling because I'm finding it very difficult to believe that you haven't watched When Harry Met Sally.
Because we've played the clip of her in the restaurant on this show, and I'm like, for sure we played it because of Midget at the Movies, but I guess not.
No.
There was probably other reasons.
I'll have what she's having.
All right, what are we doing? That's a coin
it's
toss
gotta be
for me.
Between Harry Met Sally and The Doors, and I don't know which one to choose. Harry Met Sally's more of an iconic Meg Ryan movie.
Yes.
Right, where The Doors is...
I didn't even know she was in it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised...
The Doors is Val Kilmer. Like.
Yeah, I think it's got to be When Harry Met Sally. That's my pick.
I would lean that
way,
too.
You're leaning
that
way? All right.
What's Joe versus the Volcano?
That was with... that guy that was in The Mummy.
Brendan Fraser?
I think so.
No, I think that's Tom Hanks too. Oh. Like she was in like 12 movies with Tom Hanks.
Okay, let's do When Harry Met Sally.
All right.
All right, that's a good pick.
You're in the locker room with Lachlan Cross, Grant Johnson, and James White. 95.7 Cruise FM.
Earlier, we had a conversation about the no Christmas tree. They're not going to put the big Christmas tree up. They're not going to do the big lighting thing. They're going to light up a street, Rice Howard Way, and that's...
We got some things they're putting up there, some statues and stuff.
That's the switch. So... Everyone's mad at City Council because they think this is a City Council thing.
Because the tree was always in front of City Hall.
So Amarjeet Sohi, our mayor, he put out a poem, and we countered it with a Jimmy Sheets poem,
yeah.
And we posted it online.
You can find the video on all our social medias.
Yes, he's responded.
So Amarjeet Sohi got back to us on Twitter, and he said, "Thanks for the creative response, friends, but neither council nor I played any part in the decision to move the holiday celebrations, and we never have." And then see below as per my video, so he had a video out.
They did say that the reasoning behind not doing the Christmas tree was because it didn't actually bring any money into the downtown core.
Because it's put on by the Downtown Business Association.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that kind of put on this event to draw people downtown. They said what happened is people went to City Hall, looked at the tree, went home. Whereas they think if they move it to Rice Howard Way, people might be inclined to go into some of the shops there
and
spend some money downtown rather than just look at the tree and then leave.
I think it's a bad idea to get rid of the tree, though.
Why can't you have both?
But the thing is, though, is if he had nothing to do with it, why did he have the guilt enough to do a poem for it?
Well, because everyone's tagging him in tweets.
Then blaming him.
Because thousands of people have tweeted at him saying, you know, what the hell, where's our tree?
There's some tugging at him if he had to respond that
some
way.
Some guilt, yeah. Well, we heard from Ron, he swore a lot, so we can't actually play the phone call, but
yeah.
We'll put it on the podcast. And he's been here his whole life, and every year they go down, the family and him go down to the big Christmas tree light up, and he's not happy about it. I think should happen is, and this is just me saying out loud, is that I think they should do both, like you just said.
Yeah.
Why can't we have Rice Howard Way lit up and have displays down there that might draw a crowd, and also put the damn tree up?
Give us a tree.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that
keep with the tradition. Why change things?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like them messing with this.
You think they'd get rid of the giant cob of corn that they decorate in Tabor? Never.
Never.
Tradition, right?
It's a tradition.
That is cemented into the ground. It's there all year round, right as you enter Tabor.
Hold on.
Don't diss the corn.
Is there a big cob of corn down there that they light up
right near,
for
next
Christmas?
No, they don't light it up. They don't light it up, but there is, as you come in,
a 35-foot tall cob of corn.
No, they don't.
Yeah. They do. It's right near the
36-foot tall. Sorry. Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing. You got to slap some tree, some lights tinsel on that.
Yeah, some tinsel.